If you or a loved one are suffering from extreme withdrawal, increased irritability, or explosive diarrhea due to the lack of survivor content in your life, welcome to the fucking show.
What's going on, everybody? Reality Gurus Podcast. This is the recap of Survivor 46, Episode 5, the final 14 of Survivor 46. It is not often, we do a lot of hypotheticals on the show, lots of hypothetical debates and discussions, projecting what's going to happen later in the season, but it's not often that we have a debate like that and it gets settled the very next week.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what happened. We had the gem debate last week and I was proven very wrong and you were proven very right. Here's the guy who was right. It's David Mack.
I'll take being right. Any day of the week. And to be honest, to defend you for a little bit, I would not say that it was necessarily her hiding the idol that directly caused her downfall. It was her internally doing that. So you can not. I wouldn't feel too bad about it, to be honest. I think it was kind of actually somewhere in the middle. Like, it wasn't the best idea and it wasn't the worst idea, but her reaction to... it wasn't even a reaction. The way she just handled herself was just poorly the next time.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm wrong, is because she gained a level of overconfidence from doing that. And so I said, like, it was a good thing to do. And it turns out that her actions there made her... she was feeling herself a little bit. Kind of felt like, I mean, she was saying like how great of a liar she was in that conversation with Tim, and it felt like it was very obvious that she was lying. Actually, Tim did have her clock. We finally got some Tim. We found out he talks to Tiki, he can't poop, and also he knows the gem has the advantage, a perceptive king.
These are all the crucial things that are, to be honest, those are probably the top three things you need to do are crucial things on the island. Know when somebody's lying.
That's right.
Try and figure out how to poop and make a friend.
That's right. Yeah. The Tiki, low-key, probably knows he, if this Tiki could talk, you know, he's the fly on the wall of the season. He knows the dynamics of every single tribe.
Yes.
So yeah, it's kind of a great ally to have, honestly. I talk about aligning with strong players.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was saying I just watched the episode, literally just finished it like 20 minutes ago, and I had kind of texted you during it and said, I have a pretty good idea of who's going home. That was right before the challenge. It was basically right after this Tim and Jem conversation where I was like, Jem is really getting the overconfident edit. And I'd already kind of thought that Green, I think I even said last week, I thought Green was going to go to a tribal council.
Yes.
I kind of thought it was going to be Tim, but it actually, we had said a while back that I think you agreed with me on this, that it kind of started out that the girls were the strongest group on this beach.
Yes.
And then once the Maria Charlie thing happened, it always seemed like Charlie was kind of, like, a little bit more of a shot caller than Maria. And they were always going to kind of lean towards the guys. Like, Maria had more leverage than Charlie, and I get they want to make the decision together, but
yeah,
it felt like they were going to go with the guys. I had said that, and I still continue to put Tim low in the rankings, but yeah, he ends up, I mean, this was a coming out party for Tim, because he went from, I thought he was going to be a pre-merge for sure, to I actually think he's in a really solid position in the game now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think them going, Charlie and Maria going with the guys on this tribe is probably the best move for both of them as like a unit, because I don't really think it affects Maria really one way or the other which way they went very much, to be honest. But it does affect
loses Mariah. It's pretty much the only thing.
Right. But Mariah's still around, at least. You can still work with her. I don't feel like she's going to be, like, entirely scorned by that, right? She doesn't seem like that kind of person. And Charlie, like, it would have been very detrimental for him to lose Ben, who was going to be the target. So,
Yeah, I don't think that she, Mariah, is like the scorned type, but I do think she is the like forgive but don't forget type.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, going into the merge too, like your tribe takes on a completely different dynamic where you're like, okay, maybe we do just all like work together. If you're not scorned, then like there's no reason to blow it all up, right? You know these people better than anyone else on the island, so.
Right. Yeah, I thought that the way the girls, not the girls, Mariah and Jem, the girls that are on the girl side,
yes.
I feel like their handling of all this, I mean, Jem especially, but Mariah too, where they just kind of go up to Ben and they're like, they just go up to Charlie and they're like, yeah, so we're going to split and we're going to vote Ben out. And then she's like, I know it's hard for you to vote Ben out. Like, she's like saying like she feels bad for him, but I'm like, I don't know, like, it's a group of six. It doesn't have to be the guy's best friend. Like,
right. Yeah.
And also they're talking about, because Maria has the extra vote, they don't know at that point that Ben doesn't have a vote. So they think they're going to split 3-2-2. But they said they're going to put, because they think Tim has an idol. So they're like, well, we'll put two on Tim because he has an idol. But then the other three would go on Ben. The idea is that you put more votes on the person who has the idol,
yeah,
because right. If they don't play it, the idol goes home with them. And if they do play it, then the other person goes home. Like idol person can't be the contingency plan of the split.
Right.
They were just all out of sorts this episode.
I think the gameplay this season is very suspect.
It's low. It's a low level.
Yeah, like there's so many times during these past couple episodes where people would just be like, okay, I'm going to look for an idol, or I'm going to vote for this person tonight, or like, we should vote for this. Like, they're so like flippant about the information that they're or what they want to do and expressing how they're going to vote or what their strategy is. Like, I don't understand why they're being like that, because especially now they cast like mostly fans of the show, like all these people should know how to play the game, and they're so open with what they're doing with people who aren't their allies, and I'm not understanding why they're doing that.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we'd kind of talked before the episode about just general structure for this one. Next week is the mergatory, so I think we are going to go a little quicker through the tribe stuff. I mean, it was kind of just a Jem spiral party. And that's kind of all you need to know at the end of the day.
A Banu spiral party and then a Jem spiral party.
Yes, that's right. Idol in her pocket, too. At least she found it. Props to her for finding it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
Orange Tribe, real quick. Most of what I had was Hunter. This was a big Hunter episode.
Yes.
He finds the Beware Advantage. And he's really like, he's like climbing the trees and he's narrating exactly how people are like unsuccessfully look for the idol.
Mm-hmm.
He's like huge in the challenges. You know, big, strong, handsome guy. I feel like he is like the prototypical nail on the head fan favorite guy.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like he's not a stereotypical fan favorite for the recent seasons. He's like a throwback fan favorite,
right.
But he is getting the fan favorite love. I feel like I'm seeing,
which online. Is strange with this cast, because it's not a cast that we've said this before. It's not a cast that he necessarily fits in with immediately.
Right.
So it's weird that he's getting the same edit that he would with like an old school cast. So mm-hmm. I don't really know how to read that yet. Reminds me so much of Jim Halpert from The Office. Why that is? It's just like his mannerisms and the way he like talks to, with the way he gives his confessionals, and like I just see him like rolling at the camera whenever they're doing something stupid that he doesn't want to be a part of the rest of that tribe. But I don't know. He just gives me Jim Halpert vibes.
Yeah. So I guess Venus would be Roy then.
Yeah.
In the scenario.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this makes Tevin Pam, and based on what happened last week, I think Soda is actually Roy. Then he's stealing Soda, or he's stealing Tevin from Soda. So she is Roy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
These are obvious parallels that can be drawn.
Yes.
The other thing that I had is I totally forgot about Jonathan from a couple seasons ago when I said mm-hmm. Hunter's the greatest new era challenge competitor. I think yeah. they're great in different ways. I think if they were on a tribe together, you could probably give them like 100 challenges and they wouldn't lose. Because yeah. Jonathan is Jonathan's great at the physical, like he could carry a 3 or 4 person challenge by himself. He literally did that in the waves, that one challenge. Mm-hmm. And Hunter is good at that part. And then there's like the dexterity skill stuff that Hunter really excels at that Jonathan's like okay at. Mm-hmm. So they would be an unbeatable duo.
I mean, he fucking crushed this challenge too this week.
Yeah.
Like there's
even something as simple as like the hook on a stick. It's just no matter mm-hmm. what the fuck it is, he's the best at it.
Yeah, and it's impressive to be honest. I want to see how he does in the individual immunity challenges once we get there.
Mm-hmm. I am scared that he's going to be a like big target as a physical threat, but
oh yeah, for sure. And it was funny with the journey. Him, Tim, and Q all standing next to each other. I don't know if Tim is like as short as he looked there, but Q I know is like a big dude, and Hunter I guess is. But like he was like, "What are the three physical threats?" And Tim's just standing there like a foot short, and then he's like, "Yeah, we are."
Yeah, I did think that was interesting. Where like, yeah, they were just kind of the three. I think they all three started off the challenge. They all three did the hook. Like I was like, I guess they're each the like strongest male on their tribe. But right. They even said at the Green Tribal Council, there was like they said we don't have a Hunter or a Q. Yeah. Tim's like, you guys got it. You have a Tim. You have a Tim.
You got Tim. All we need is a Tim.
Yeah, and then purple, we got a little bit, not much strategy. They're just kind of sad and tired, as we kind of figured
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I don't blame
him. He was doing his sandbagging thing again with Kenzie.
He's like, yeah, I might quit.
Yeah, he keeps doing this where it's like, I'm now convinced that this was not Jelinski's fault. I'm pretty sure Q was like, we should just fucking quit. And then Jelinski's like, yeah, let's quit. And he's like, I was never going to quit. This is bullshit. Jelinski's a quitter. Because yeah, then he did it again, like 2 weeks ago. And then
Jelinski.
Yeah, and now he's fucking doing it again where he's like, I might quit. And then he's like, as he's walking away, he's like, the one thing I will never do is quit.
Yeah. What is the I'm not understanding the logic behind him telling Kenzie this.
I think he wants Kenzie to think that he's gonna fall on his sword if they go to a three person mm-hmm. tribal. Gotcha. He doesn't want her to play this shot in the dark, which are I guess if you know the other two people are super tight mm-hmm. it kind of makes sense to play right, because there's only one person to flip, and if you don't think you can flip them, like you might as well do the shot in the dark.
Right. Was it last week that we were talking about whether Tiffany would vote with Q or Kenzie? I think I was saying that Tiffany would be more likely to vote with Q. Are you more on my wavelength about that this week?
I was saying last week that I thought she'd vote with Kenzie.
Right.
We didn't really get an update on it. I think that she would have. Oh man. I think she, fuck, I don't know. It's really tough. I tend to think that she would stick with Kenzie because I think she could be a valuable partner for the merge. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you're like, if you know that you could find your footing in a merge situation, then I would probably rather keep Q.
I think it's probably better for her to side with Kenzie if you have to pick one, right?
I think so too.
But I think that in reality, I think she's just closer with Q, and that's what would happen.
Yeah, it's tough because we see her individually with both of them, and we never see mm-hmm. Kenzie and Q just together, really.
Yeah.
Unless Q's telling her that he wants to quit.
Yeah, right. He's like in his head, like in this evil mastermind. He's like, I told her I was gonna quit. We have this in the bag. Like, he's always like that in his confessionals, I feel like.
Yeah. But yeah, it's I moved them all. They're all pretty high in my rankings. Because I think they are really well equipped to survive as a three. Tika three, like, 3 out of 13 people is not very many. I think people are gonna try to use them to move against their enemies. Like, we'll probably get an Orange Civil War, and we'll probably get Mo wanting to go somewhere else away from the Greens. So
right,
there's a lot of things that can happen. I think they're gonna have some decision making power in the next couple weeks.
I would assume,
which so. I think it's great that they got rid of Banu when they did. Oh, yeah. He would be such a hindrance to them making good decisions.
And you know, like, he's not going to leave their side. Like, he will not leave them alone. He will not find other people.
Right. Until he decides, like, he would want to know, like, the group information. They'd probably be pretty hesitant to give it to him. And then he would be like, then at a certain point, he'd get mad and, like, turn on them. And it's like, yeah, it would just be a recipe for disaster. So really a good thing that they got rid of him when they did, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he should have been gone a couple weeks before that.
Yeah. Yeah. Expert analysis. They should have got rid of Bono.
Yeah. We come to you with the hottest takes only.
Yeah. I did want to touch on one last thing. This is a good segue into the individual discussion here. The journey. We got, as you said, Hunter, Q, and Tim together. Q suggests a big alliance where he says, the three of us, you know, we're the big guys, we got to stick together. How about each of us, we take our number one, we make a 6-person alliance. I think this is a great fucking idea.
Oh yeah.
I've had this idea. I always think of the best way to have a secret alliance on Survivor, because I feel like it's much more of a Big Brother thing where people are like, and I think it's just because the everyone votes all the time, so it's easy to like blend in with your ally in a big group, right? So, but I feel like there's not as many secret alliances in Survivor, and I think it's a great idea of like, I have me and one other person, but with this group, we can automatically take all of ourselves from like kind of questionable, like I feel good but like not great, like going to the merge, to like all of you could feel very confident about your position if you just stick to this little agreement for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. Especially if you have like a solid number one that you're good with. This might get a little hairier if like one of these three guys was like, oh, I'm like okay with like a couple people, you know? Like if you don't have a solid number one, that's where this would fall apart a little bit. But it sounded good. Q pitches everything so well, I think, that he's like, just the way he explains it, he's like, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and it's going to work. And everyone's like, yeah. But like, that's one where you like get back to the beach and you're like thinking about it more and you're like, is that going to work? Like, afterwards, but like just in the moment, you're like, I'm all for it. Let's go. Yeah. He like hypes you up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the only thing that could fuck this is Tim saying that Maria would be his, because obviously her real number one is Charlie. And right. I think Maria could kind of break this up from the inside. But I do think that this is probably like, she could protect Charlie from this position and they could pick off some people on the outside. And then I do think, if this works, I think Maria and Charlie making a move against one of these six people, one of these other four, I guess, people, would probably be like the jump-starting move of the post-merge, I would think.
Yeah, and if this does end up like falling apart, I think it is on the Tim leg of things, because I think Hunter and Tevin are pretty close, and obviously Q and Tiff are pretty close, but like Tim is that guy that I was kind of mentioning before where like he doesn't really have like someone he's super close with, or like he might think he does, but they're not his number one back.
I could totally see this being how Hunter gets eliminated, is there's this big alliance, and he loses an immunity, and Maria and Charlie go against him, kind of leave Tim in the dark. Tim will be on his own. Tevin is kind of on his own then. And then Tiffany, Q, Kenzie kind of rise up. That's kind of how I maybe see the post-merge going, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally see it.
Which is a good segue. Oh, also one more thing I just want to mention. This puzzle is the easiest thing of all time. Like, I know it's different for me to say that than other people. Like, I know all 40 of the old era, whatever you want to call it, in order.
Yeah.
And like, I thought at first when he said this, I thought it was going to be the logo without the season name.
That's what I thought too.
I was like, that's going to be fucking nuts. But considering it has the season names on them and it's not like any of the new era ones, I would have had this pretty easy.
That's what I thought too originally, and I was like, because I thought, I'm like, oh, just putting them in order for like a bunch of Survivor super fans shouldn't be that difficult, right? Because I like immediately thought of you, and I was like, oh, Lewis could do that, like no problem. And then I was like, if it's just the colors of the logos, that's tough. Like,
yeah.
That's so hard. And then it was the names. And I was like, oh. And Hunter was like, I'm a super fan. I can do it. And he, like, fucked it all up. I was like, oh. Okay.
He had the first couple. That was.
Yeah.
But then he definitely, it seems like he got mixed up in the middle ones. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, it sounds like he watched out of order, you know. I'm not going to say, like, Hunter is not a fan or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I was just saying I would have it easily.
Yes.
But that's just
I made the same comment to Alyssa. I was like, Lewis would kill this.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna do rankings one by one this week because it is the merge next week, mergatory, whatever you want to call it. Everyone's coming together next week. And I think that this is a good time to kind of reevaluate everybody, spend a little more time on each individual. So we can go through this. I think we kind of said we want to do like buy or sell on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, is it more by their position that they're in the rankings or by them as a winner, or how do we want to define this?
Let's define it as, do we think they're going to be a riser or a sinker based on moving into the merge from their position now?
Gotcha. I like that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Cool.
So our number 13, a unanimous number 13, it is Venus. She's been on the bottom for a while, both in our rankings and in the game. I think she has the potential to rise just because there's kind of nowhere else. There's nowhere lower for her to go at this point. I would classify Venus as, I think she's going to play spoiler. I think she has people that she does not like on her original tribe that she's going to be gunning for pretty hard, and she doesn't really have anything to lose. And I think the fact that she is aggressive and strong makes her the kind of ally that someone like the green tribe, like the majority in the greens or like the purples or something like that would want to bring in. Like, I think she is a fun plus one to whatever you have going on for a lot of people. So I think Venus, I would say she has losing finalist upside. I'm not sure that she can win at this point. She has a lot of work to do, but I think she has the potential to go pretty deep. She is. Oh, I did want to mention this for everybody. She's like middle of the pack for confessionals. So I do think she is a person that it's like, and considering her position, I would say she has a high number of confessionals. So I think that she's someone that we should maybe be watching for. And I would not be surprised at all if she, you know, hitches her wagon to somebody and makes a deep run, like makes with the finale.
Yeah. I could totally see that. She's someone who definitely could go either way. I think I tend to lean more towards what you just explained, but I'll make the opposite argument just to make the opposite argument.
For funsies.
Yeah, for funsies. I think in the past couple weeks, especially with everyone kind of taking a look at Soda potentially as an option, this is in the tribe phase. She's kind of maybe faded into the background a little bit, and I think potentially going into the merge just reset her position back to being the bottom, unfortunately, because she is like very aggressive, and she's another one who's very open about what she wants to do, even if she's not aligned with you. Mm-hmm. So like, I am afraid that she's going to, you know, meet all these new people. Well, you know, she's met them before, but, you know, meet them on a personal level, and they're going to see what the rest of Orange has saw when they first met her too, as someone who like doesn't really want to do much, isn't really like that strategically great at the game, is pretty aggressive, especially if she's like not agreeing with you. And she could, I think, potentially be a merge boot if she mm-hmm. says the wrong thing to the wrong person. Because if she's just like, yeah, I think we should vote this person out, kind of like offhandedly, and that person happens to be aligned with the person she's talking to, I don't think she's like, I don't think her opinions are received very well, I think. So that would be my argument against what you had said, but I think I tend to fall more on the side of her being useful and her kind of upside being losing finalists. I agree. I don't think she can win, but yeah, that would be the opposite argument, I think.
As you were explaining that, I agree with the potential merge boot thing, just because it's always like there's a bunch of people safe and there's not a huge pool to pick from. She is like a consensus boot. We were talking about this at the beginning on the Orange Tribe, where she seems like she could be a consensus boot type person. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see that happening. All right. Our number 12. This is my number 10 and your number 11.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ben. So I guess I'll go first for Ben. I think this is low for him. He was on the side of the numbers. I get that everybody identifies him as a threat. But of people that are still in the game, he has the fifth most confessionals. He has gotten a lot of screen time. People are obviously pretty drawn to him. Him and Charlie seems to be a thing that they're starting to push a little more and more here. I think that he is going to, I don't think he's going to be a big player, but I think he's going to stick around for a while and then kind of be the like, hey, this guy's too charismatic to take to the end, or like, we don't want to sit next to this guy kind of for no reason, and then just go home in like seventh place or something like that. So I will buy Ben as a riser from this current position, but just because I do think it is a little low. I would cap his potential at maybe a fire loser, but I think he's a vote out, and I'd say it's probably somewhere between fifth place and eighth place.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much on the same page with Ben as you. I think where we have him ranked is pretty low, and that's more of a product of the tribe phase. I think he'll definitely be a riser come post-merge. He's someone that like brings good energy, someone who is, you know, pretty agreeable, so I don't think he would be immediately a target in the merge. I think people will want to work with him. And I think he is also a vote out. And I think the way he ends up going home is like, he's just on the bottom of his alliance in the minority, right? And like the majority just ends up taking him out because he's on the bottom, right?
I agree with that 100%.
Because I don't think he's like a major player, and he's not really like gonna have those like ride or die bonds within his group, I don't really think. So I think he'll eventually just be someone who the rest of his tribes or the rest of his allies see as like, okay, like if it's gonna be one of us, that's probably pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Ben, and I like having him on the show, and I think that he's gonna be okay for the next couple weeks. I don't think he's gonna be one of the first people looked at.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we had a tie for 10th next.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick. You'll go first for both of these, so you could pick.
Okay, I'll go first for Soda. I think I'm going to start to sell soda.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they foreshadowed that a little bit with the way the rest of her tribe has started to look at her. We didn't really get much of that last week, but that was more 2 weeks ago where they were looking at Orange Tribe strategy. And everyone started to say, you know, she's playing the game pretty hard. Like, I want to secure, I don't know if I can, like, 100% trust her, like, if she's working with other people. And I think that is probably how she's going to be perceived going into the merge, is, like, she's, like, a more, she's like Ben, but, like, a better player, but it's obvious that she's a better player. So that makes it not, that makes her not as successful. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's, like, has, like, magnetic energy that people want to be around, but in a way that makes you think she's playing the game, not that she just has this energy to have this energy, right? And I think she is pretty decent. If she can reel that, like, energy in and kind of dial in who she wants to play with, I think she still has, like, winner upside, I would say. But I don't think that that's, like, her most likely outcome by any stretch of the imagination. I think she's probably going to start to trend downwards.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with a lot of that. I think we see this all the time with the three tribe seasons. There's always one tribe that never goes to tribal council, never gets to establish anything. And they typically are the, be it the other two tribes teaming up against them or themselves imploding, typically the merge boot comes from that tribe, or at least if it's, if not the merge boot specifically, like a few of the first couple boots, like the playing field gets leveled pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Soda kind of as the most likely of all of them to go home, even including Venus, because Hunter and Tevin are going to be able to create a foothold. I think I would say, I don't think either of them are real potential merge boots.
Mm-hmm.
Liz and Venus are kind of similar in that they don't have a ton of allies. So if the vote gets switched onto them, it's probably going to be tough for them to actually shed the target. Mm-hmm. But I think Soda is kind of the most, she's the best player that doesn't have people looking out for her of right. that group. And I think that's kind of a recipe to go early. I do think I would sell Soda as well. I think she's going to be an early merge boot. I would say anywhere between next week and like eighth place, maybe as a peak. I agree with you that she has like an outside shot to make a run because she is naturally a pretty good player. But I just think the target has been drawn on her back by some strong players.
Yeah.
And like Tevin and Hunter, they're never going to just go back to being with Soda, right? I think they're always going to be looking for the night that it's a good time to take get rid of Soda.
Yeah, I would say that I think she's probably a candidate for like the true merge boot and not to get like mergatory screwed. I think that mm-hmm. category is more like Liz or Venus, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with
because
that,
the other tribes don't have a target on her yet, but once maybe they start to talk to Tevin and Hunter, they might start to agree.
Mm-hmm. And she's pretty low in confessionals. She's how many people left? 13. So she's 10th for confessionals.
Mm-hmm. 10th in the rankings. 10th in confessionals.
Yeah, I actually have to count it off because there's eliminated people ahead of her. So, that's another line. We always have a XYZ line in our rankings and stuff. I think the Randon line for confessionals is a pretty good one.
Yeah,
because he had a big week two, and then obviously he had his medevac. Like he was pretty in the edit for a short amount of time. Banu is going to be tough to catch for like a lot of people. He still has the most confessionals.
Yeah,
but Randon I think is a good line, and so right now people with less confessionals than Randon are Mariah, Soda, Maria, Tim, Liz. So it's kind of what you think. Jem has the fifth most, but it's really just because she had a gem explosion these last couple weeks. Okay, you go first again.
All right. My other one is Mariah. So these Mariah and Soda both tied for 10th. Mariah, she's interesting. I think I would potentially start to see her as a riser.
Mm-hmm.
If she decides to maybe distance herself a little bit from this group. I think if she stays within her tribe group, she's going to stay on the bottom of this, near or at least near the bottom of this alliance, and she won't be able to maneuver much. I think if she ventures out and starts kind of trying to talk to some other people, I think she could, I think she's a good player, and I think Jem exploding last week probably like hurt her game a lot more than she probably knows right now. Because, I mean, if they end up just voting Ben out instead, if Jem just plays it cool, like, she is in a really good spot, I think, going into the merge. Now, I think she's a little more of a free agent, and that's going to be pretty dangerous if she can capitalize on it. I'm just unsure if she's going to do that or not. She's another person where, like, she's probably not going to get looked at right away. She could probably fade into the background, potentially. It's just all how she wants to capitalize on, like, the game opening up, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mariah, I would also buy. And it's interesting when you look at her trends in the rankings. She's drafted second, and then in the rankings she went third, fifth, sixth, and now 10th. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of it at first was like, first couple episodes, yeah, we like this person. It's kind of what we thought we were getting.
Yeah.
Then it wasn't even negative necessarily. It just was Green wasn't in the edit a lot. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden a vote didn't go her way and it kind of seems like she's in trouble. But I agree. I don't think that that is the player that she is. I think a lot of times we see people say, okay, well, like, these people just voted against me. Knee-jerk reaction is to get off the bottom. And sometimes it's not the right move. Like, sometimes it is best to stick with those people and just kind of, like I said, forgive but don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for Mariah, it would be the best thing to do, because even if Green is, and I don't know if she realizes this or not, but even if those four on Green stick together, it's not fractured, but it's ready to fracture pretty quick.
Right.
Like Charlie, Maria, there's factions within it. Like Tim is pretty solidly, I think he's with Ben, kind of with Charlie. Ben is kind of with Tim. He's with Charlie. Charlie is kind of like the central figure. And like, if she's not super tight with Charlie, then it kind of seems like going with Green is a bad idea. I think Mariah is, she's going to be a free agent here. And I think it's different from Venus, where Venus is kind of like a splash. Like, you know, I'm going to use this person too, because like, she's aggressive. She's kind of, you can almost hide behind her a little bit because she would be so out front. But Mariah is different. I think Mariah is someone that like could be a serious number for somebody like going down the line. And I think she could actually get like a social foothold. So I would also buy Mariah. She is to me the first person that we've talked about. And I honestly only think there's a couple of these people in the season where she could go anywhere. I think she still has outside winner potential. I could also see her being a losing finalist. But she also kind of feels like a vote out. Like she could do almost anything. And because she's kind of on the bottom, she could be a soon vote out. So she could kind of go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I think she has some decent upside to be. I think what most likely happens is she latches on with someone, she's good socially for a while, and she probably gets bounced a couple episodes before the finale, I would say.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same spot. Like I said, she could totally go anywhere. I didn't really know what to do with her quite yet. I need to see more from her.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next person here. This is my number 7, your number 12. It is Tim, big mover for me this week. Oh, also I forgot to say Mariah. Mariah tied with Soda on confessionals. So kind of near the middle, but still one of those people that we're not getting a ton from every week. Anyway, Tim, I feel good about Tim for a couple reasons. I think that this potential six-person alliance is really good, even if Maria does end up snaking him, which I think would happen. I think that he is in a good position for now. Like, he has security for the first time in the game. And so I feel really good about that. And also, like, for people saying he's like a challenge threat, he's not actually a challenge threat. Like, I don't think he'll lose the first challenge and people will be like, well, Tim's a big physical threat. Like, he's fine in challenges, but especially he does not seem like the kind of person who would be good at the type of individual challenges. So I would say for Tim, I actually might sell Tim at this position because I think I had to move him up because his position improved. But I think at the end of the day, he still doesn't have a ton of close allies. He still comes off as pretty smart and probably someone that would be a threat. So I don't necessarily know that he's long for the game. He feels like the kind of person that goes home. He's like the easy boot at the split tribe merge twist thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I might actually sell Tim in this place. I mean, he's still low in the confessionals. He had 4 tonight, and he's still tied for last in that for active players. Like, I could still see him not being a big contributor to the end game. So, yeah, I think I might sell him. It's crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I'm selling Tim as well. He had a good week this week. It was his first good week, I would probably say. And because of that, I would sell him. If he was still in the bad position that he was in, and if, like, Ben got voted out, I would probably buy him, to be honest. He's, like, kind of, like, in between those two, like, those two actualities, right? Like, if mm-hmm. Ben went home, he'd be lower than he should be. But since Jem went home, I think he's a little higher than he should be. Tim just, like, he seems like a pre-merge boot to me. Like, just looking at him and, like, looking at his game, not just looking at him physically. That's not what I meant. He just seems like a pre-merge boot. Like, late pre-merge, before the merge, like, somebody, like, if he's on a tribe that has a pretty strong majority that they're just, like, cutting at, like, people who aren't in their alliance, he just seems like that guy to go. So I guess he does kind of fall into that category for me as well of, like, mergatory, like, tribe swap screwed. Like, he's a nice guy, but, like, he just didn't have the numbers on this swap, right? And he's never going to be the leader of his alliance. He's never going to be the one driving the change, right? He's just going to be, I think, a number for the most part. I mean, his ceiling is, I don't even know what his ceiling would be. Maybe, like, zero vote finalist, potentially. It doesn't really give that vibe either, to be honest. He is like, pretty confident of vote out, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with all that, yeah. Okay, our next person, who goes first for this person? This is my number 9, your number 7, so you can go first for Liz.
I'm selling Liz. I don't like Liz. She's probably my least favorite person in this cast.
Couldn't wait for me to stop talking.
Like, I wish I had her higher this week, but that's because she is, like, done a better, she's like the better Venus of, like, blending into the background after you say something that's so stupid. They're both, like, on that same wavelength of, like, say something really dumb, everyone's really mad at you for, like, 5 minutes, and then, like, you still aren't a target to go home. Mm-hmm. But, like, they haven't gone yet. She's, like, someone who will not, I don't think she fits in with anyone, to be honest. Like, I think she is going to be on the bottom of every alliance that she's in, and I don't think anyone's going to want to work with her, and I certainly wouldn't. I just don't like her at all.
Yeah, I think that she, I was right that I said I think they'll probably never go to tribal council. She said she's just going to be safe, and even if they did, like, she's not the most obvious target anymore. Mm-hmm. I think Liz might be the biggest whiff in casting this season, because I think, like, they're going for all the, like, quirky people and all this stuff, you know, like, I'd say, like, over half these people could potentially fall into that category. But she honestly kind of seems like she doesn't care. Like she talks about how, you know, she wants to win, but, you know, she doesn't really need the money. She talks about how rich she is. She has, like, people are looking for the idol. Like, she doesn't care. But I get that you don't have to look for the idol in front of everybody to care. But, like, kind of feel like she's not really trying to make alliances. She's not really trying to, like, she's fine with just floating.
Right.
And also, like, they clearly don't like what they're getting TV-wise, because she has the least amount of confessionals of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
She actually, and pretty much everyone in the second half, other than Mariah, everyone in the bottom half on confessionals, not even the bottom half, literally, sorry, this is bad podcasting.
Okay.
Everybody, so Tevin, Venus, Mariah, or sorry, Tevin, Venus, Soda, Maria, and Tim are all, Tim's tied with her. Everyone else, all those other people have more confessionals than her and have all at least had one episode where they have zero.
Mm-hmm.
Tim's had two episodes with zero, and she still has the same amount as him. She's gotten a confessional in every episode, yet she hasn't done anything to actually get her in an episode for more than like one or two confessionals.
Right.
So I don't think we're supposed to care too much about Liz. I'm also selling Liz near the middle of the pack. I think she has like zero vote finalist upside. I also think she could survive like longer than that. Like I do think she could be like just you know, fourth place, fifth place, like whatever. But I think she has close to 0% chance to win the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Our number seven, this is a big discrepancy, I believe. Yes. My number four, your number 14, it's Kenzie. I did say
14.
Sorry, she's your 10. 14 total.
No, there's no 14.
Yeah. You had her off the fucking page. No, yeah, you're 10, my four. This is Kenzie. I did say that as soon as I knew that these three would make the merge, I was going to move them all up. I did do that. Kenzie, we did talk a little bit about Purple too, of like, they're going to be a commodity. We saw it with Tika. It happens every time. The decimated tribe, those people become very hot commodities as potential numbers to add to these big groups that are trying to take each other out. But they're also seasoned. They're the most seasoned players. They've been to a bunch of tribal councils. They know what they're doing. They're naturally good at the game because that's how they, you know, kind of were able to find themselves in alliances together. And then also they're kind of worked, if you will. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but they've played the game the most in earnest of anyone. So I think all three of these people, Tiffany, Q, and Kenzie, I think all of them will survive these first couple of rounds. I'm buying Kenzie like a mother. She might be my biggest like discrepancy between where I see her ending up and her ranking right now.
Mm-hmm.
She has the most confessionals of anyone in the cast who is still in the game. Fucking Banu. She's three away from catching Banu. So I think she will catch and pass Banu. I think Kenzie could be the winner of the season. I think that's her upside, and I think she has the best chance of anyone I've said, and I think she has a better chance of a lot of people we haven't talked about yet. I think I see her floor. I mean, I guess she could get sniped in the first half of the merge, but I think I would say like 80% of the times you run out this season, she finishes in the top like six, maybe. And I think she has big potential to win. I kind of felt it early on. She got hit by this whole beef with Q, but they kind of need each other now. And I think by the time they don't need each other anymore, Q is going to look like a bigger target. And I could see her skating very deep. I really am high on Kenzie right now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree pretty much 100% with everything you said. I mean, I think this just, we can chalk this one up to a difference in, this happens every season, a difference in how we ranked people at the merge and mm-hmm. like current position slash how they looked in the last episode versus projecting them into the merge. And like we talked about before, like I, in my opinion, Q and Tiffany would vote together if they went again, and Kenzie is on the outs of those three, but projecting her like we're doing right now, I'm like in lockstep with you. I think she is one of the people who can win. I think her upside is very high, and I think Purple will be everyone will want to be working with Purple because they're all going to be free agents, like free votes to kind of use. And I think she is specifically someone who's very good socially, and everyone who had their doubts about her socially working with like multiple groups has either been voted out on their tribe or they're aligned with her now. So everyone else has to come to that conclusion on their own that like, oh, maybe she's a little too good socially. And I think that gives her a nice head start to get past that kind of point where she might get sniped. So I'm very high on Kenzie as well. Not necessarily my specific winner pick, but she's definitely someone who I'm looking at to in that group of people. I think she for this game.
Mm. Okay. This is where it's going to start getting tough.
Okay.
Our number six, mm-hmm. this is my number eight and your number two.
Mm-hmm.
Still up there. This is Tevin.
I like Tevin's position right now. As far as going to the merge, I think I'm going to start to sell him. And I think that's probably what you have done in your rankings already as well. I think he has created... It's kind of... he's kind of created this, like, he is the leader and everyone wants to be with the leader of this group, right? Like, he's created this atmosphere where, like, oh, I need Tevin's approval to do this. I need Tevin's approval to do that. And they're all, like, buying into that idea, which makes him the central figure of this tribe, right? Come merge time, I don't think that's going to work out the same with as large a group of people. I think he has Hunter. Him and Hunter are going to go strong. I think, honestly, like, he stays in the game as long as Hunter is willing to fight for him, basically. Because I think Hunter is going to come out of this group as being the person that everyone else wants to work with and everyone else wants to talk strategy with. And I think he's going to have to talk some people down from voting Tevin if he wants to keep Tevin in the game. And just by, like, that sentence alone, that's why I'm selling Tevin. I think he might... I don't know. I think he might end up being, like... seen as good socially, but like not in the same way that Kenzie is good socially, like a little more like clicky, a little more like I don't want to work with him because I don't necessarily trust him as much. That's kind of where I see Tevin. I think his game is dependent on how long Hunter wants to keep him.
Yeah, I think I'm... Oh, man. I think just based on how I described Liz with like selling her, but thinking she probably ends up beyond this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have to sell Tevin because of that definition of it. But I do think he still has very high potential to go pretty far, but he's, like I said, he's my favorite player. I like who he is a lot. But I'm not, I feel like he's losing the vision of him as a winner is, I feel like, diminishing. And
yeah,
I think that him and Hunter as a duo, that's really strong. If they do this six person alliance, he'll be safe for a little bit. But I'm kind of having a vision of how I see this going. The reason why I dropped him is because I do think Orange is going to break apart, and I don't know if he might catch some strays from that. He might come out completely unscathed, but like I said, I feel like Soda could be a big person going soon. And that kind of could be a win for him because that's a target of his, but also I feel like he's losing ground, and that combined with the fact that I feel like we're seeing him less and less. He's middle of the pack for confessionals, but I don't know. I just feel like he's slipping a little bit. Like, I feel like they're starting to not push him as hard in the edit. Like, you don't need to care as much about this guy.
Right.
I have a big theory that I want to reveal at the end of this.
Okay.
I kind of see him being an endgame player, but probably not being the winner. It's kind of what I see.
Yeah, I would say I think he's someone who doesn't make final tribal council, but could be like his. I think his upside is like 4, 5, 6. No, I don't think he makes final tribal. Mm. 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I guess he did just say that. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, we have a tie for fourth here. Do you want to go first for the tie, or you want to go second?
I'll go first. Okay. I'll break the tie in favor of...
Well, wait, hold on. Okay. Oh, wait, you're first for both of them. Never mind. Yeah, okay. Sorry, go ahead. I thought I was first for one, and you were first for the other.
Gotcha. I'll talk about Hunter first, I think, because he kind of goes along with Tevin. I think Hunter is, like you said, he's kind of the fan favorite edit right now. I think he is someone who could win the game. Is he my favorite pick to win the game? No. Can he do it? I think so. I think he has shown the ability to make pretty strong bonds, especially with Tevin, quickly with Q and Tim in that six-person alliance, if that is realized. I think he's someone that his downfall is going to be that he's been really good at challenges, and that's going to be the target on his back. I think he can navigate around that, to be honest, because I think he's pretty savvy strategically as well. And I think him just immediately making these connections with, you know, Q and Tim and being aligned with Tevin, if he can come out of this, what we think is going to be like this orange bloodbath, then I have a good feeling about him. I like watching him, and he's one of my favorite players too. He's a fan favorite, and he's, you know, I'm a fan. So I think I'm buying Hunter.
Yeah, I think I'm buying Hunter as well. We had a big jump in confessionals for him. He had 10. He is the only non-purple castaway to have double-digit confessionals in an episode so far. That being said, he didn't have many before this. He had the least of anyone, I believe, before this episode. He has 16 now. So yeah, he had 6 before this one. Yeah, he had the least. So yeah, I mean, I buy him as a player. I think he's really strong. He's really perceptive. He's going to be good at the challenges. We'll see what happens with the beware advantage, but you got to think he's probably going to get that idol.
Right.
They
did say there's a clause in there. Come the merge, there's another way to earn it. And I think you get your vote back.
Right. But I think he'll still have to do a task to get.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not going to be like, oh, you just don't have your vote now or something stupid like that.
Yeah. So yeah, like I buy him. Like I said earlier, he's like a prototype fan favorite. He's also a prototype, just like really good player.
Yeah.
He's the classic. There's always one or two of these a season. He is the built a survivor player in a lab. It's this guy.
Yeah.
So I feel confident. I think the visibility spike is good because I think he's safe. So like visibility spike when you're not safe, bad. Visibility spike when you are safe, good.
Yes.
So I think that if he like, okay, now he has 10 or he had 10 confessionals this week. If he can get like 3 or 4 an episode early merge, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, start, you know, we told you guys in this episode to start watching Hunter, keep watching him. Like I could see him being an end game player. I kind of think it's more likely that he is the, like, he's like the Emily vote. He's the big one. I think could be the first true contender to fall, like in the kind of mid merge.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I see, like I said, I have a theory. But yeah, I buy Hunter overall. I think he's a really good player.
Nice.
And you go first again.
Okay, right. So the other person tied for fourth is Charlie. I'm buying Charlie as well. I think that he is like Tevin of the Green Tribe, but in a better way, where he kind of ties everyone's relationships together. Everyone, like, if you're not loosely tied to Charlie, you are not involved in the strategy, right?
Right.
And I think coming into the merge, this tribe is a lot more likely to glue together than Orange is to glue together. They're kind of like both sides of that coin, where one, you're like they're both slightly fractured, but sometimes that brings people together and sometimes it helps them fall apart. I think Orange is the side that helps, that falls apart, and Green is the side that could potentially be pulled together. And I think that Charlie specifically, being at the center of all those relationships, being someone who's seems pretty likable, people want to work with him. For some reason, I just don't necessarily see him as a winner. I couldn't explain to you why that is, though. It's just like more of a gut feeling that I don't feel like he would be a winner. He seems like another person. I kind of see him in the Hunter category of, like, he's one of the people that the winner goes through to win. Mm-hmm. But I'm buying Charlie for now. I don't think anything I've seen has put him in a position, will put him in the position that, like, he is not going to have a good foothold in the game come the merge.
Yeah. We're agreeing a lot. I'm going to agree on Charlie. This is more, I'm blindly following what I would call, like, my Survivor, just, like, super fan or, like, edgic knowledge, like, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Based on watching the show, I know that you should care about Charlie. He has the fourth most confessionals. He's only one behind Q for the third most confessionals. I feel like he is very average for his archetype.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really jump off the screen to me, but he's gotten a ton of confessionals. He's kind of at the center of Green. I think he's going to map later. And I kind of agree with you. I think he's kind of my leader in the clubhouse to be the runner up.
Yeah.
I think that he is someone who can command a strong contingent, but I agree with you. I just don't really see it as him being a winner, which kind of, like, all signs there are pointing to second place, getting like three jury votes or something like that.
It's just like a gut feeling. I couldn't tell you why.
I can't either. I just don't like, everything that we see on the screen is like, take this guy seriously. And I still kind of struggle to take him seriously.
Yeah.
So, okay. Our number two is a tie. I think I'm higher for both of these. So I'll go first for both. But I'll also break the tie. I'll put Q third. And I'm going to sell Q at this spot. I think Q to me is the most ready to go home, not in his own mind, just in general, of the three purples. He does have this new alliance that he worked out that I think could be very interesting. I don't think he's going to be a big target in these first couple weeks. And then I think in the middle of the merge, he's going to be a huge target, because it's kind of everything, I don't try to be overly negative about him, because I actually have been pleasantly surprised with how much I've enjoyed Q. But I feel like all of his negative attributes could flare up at the same time of, like, he's an obvious physical threat. Those guys are usually, you know, somewhere between 7th place and like 10th place. They really get targeted. He's also like a big, I've said it a couple times, he's like a my way or the highway kind of guy. Like, he, like we said with this alliance, he made a plan and it sounded really good, so a lot of people go along with it. If people didn't like the plan, that would be really off-putting, right? So I think that he does have the potential to steamroll a little bit, and that's kind of also the area where people are like, I'm tired of working with this person and I don't see them in my end game. So I could be fine with voting them off, like in that middle area. So I'm going to sell Q as an end game player. I don't think he quite makes it to the end game. Like I said, realistically, I think he's more somewhere between like sixth place and like a ninth place. But yeah, I just think, I mean, he's, like I said, third most confessionals. He's all over the story. He's a very complex, interesting person, but I don't really see the win.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like Q a lot as well, and I will be disappointed when he goes home just because of the dynamic that he brings to the show this season. But I agree. I think that he is the most obvious threat out of all of these people, and compounding that with the fact that he is pretty strategic, I'd say, for someone who is like archetypally like strong guy, you know, when I am strong guy, I win challenge type of guy. I think he's pretty strategic, but his issue is like, he's like openly strategic, and he's like, you know, you can tell that he's playing the game too. And I think I agree too. He is pretty aggressive, that could be off-putting and put even a bigger target on his back. I think that good players are going to use him as like a meat shield for as long as they can. That being said, I don't think he is like the merge boot or goes home the week after that. I think, like you were saying, he kind of goes home mid-merge when those people start to get targeted, right? Unless he like pisses somebody off right away. I struggle to see him as a winner just because of how aggressive he plays and how his plans come together. But I think his ceiling is probably like sixth, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then our other person tied for second, it is Maria. This is maybe, like, I had a strong opinion about Kenzie. Mm-hmm. This is my strongest opinion the other way. I'm selling Maria as hard as I can. She has the 11th most confessionals of everyone, despite being in one of the strongest power positions in the game for the entire pre-merge. Since the very beginning of it, she had a big first episode because she went on the journey, confessional-wise. And then after that, she's been in the power position. And while Charlie, her partner, has gotten 8 confessionals, 6 confessionals, 1, 2, 7. She's gotten 5 in that first episode, then 1, 0, 3, 2. She's a swing vote in this vote, and she has an extra vote, and she got 2 confessionals. And her opinion, like, that she kind of just went with what Charlie wanted more in the end. I've seen a lot of people online saying that they think she is like a winner. I really do not see it. I think that she, like I said, I think she makes one big move in like the middle of the merge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she's done after that.
Yeah. I don't think I'm necessarily as low on her as that. I'm going to sell her, but not in the same way that you're selling her. I think that her position couldn't possibly get better than it is right now come post-merge, and that's why I'm selling her. I think she is in one of the best positions in the game right now in the majority of an alliance with someone who probably sees her as an equal. They seem to be equals in that alliance between her and Charlie. And just being so interconnected with like all of the people in that tribe, like in a tribe that I think is going to decently stick together decently well in the next few weeks, I don't think she could possibly come out of these next couple weeks in as good of a position. So that's why I'm selling her. I'm the same way. I think she, like, her ceiling would be losing finalist, like maybe like second place potentially. Mm-hmm. I don't think she could win either. But I think it's much, much more likely that she goes home middle of the merge somewhere. That Charlie and her just kind of like maybe stray away from each other. Like, he finds better alliances, better bonds, and she just ends up going home one week when her plan doesn't work out or something like that. I agree. Like, we're not getting a ton from her, even though she should be like a central figure in the episodes, and that does put a damper on what I think her outcome's going to be.
Yeah, I do think she could also, I think second place is her upside as well. I just feel like out of her and Charlie, he's a lot more visible, so I'd say he's more likely to be second place. I could see Maria.
It's weird being both of their upsides are second.
Yeah, I could see Maria being a fourth place. I could see her being, I think she will be physically in the game near the end. I just don't think, I feel really confident that it's not going to end up in a win.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I do feel confident saying that she could do a lot of other things very close to winning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then our number one is unanimous number one. I just went first a couple times, so you could go first for Tiff.
Yeah, our number one overall is Tiff. She is my winner pick, I think. I'm buying her. I just really like what I'm seeing from her. I think, like we talked about, everyone on the Purple Tribe is going to be in a swing position, and everyone's going to want to work with them. And I think she can capitalize on that probably the best out of any of the three of them. I know you really have Mackenzie. I think Q's going to capitalize the worst, but I think Tiff could do it the best, to be honest. And she could do it in a more subtle way than Kenzie can, I think. She is someone who I definitely see as a winner. She is my, I think, outright, like, adjusted winner pick right now. I just really like everything I'm seeing from Tiff. I don't think there's really any scenario where she goes home in the foreseeable future. I don't really have anything bad to say about her, to be honest. I've liked literally everything I've seen from her so far.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page. I mean, she's been in the rankings. She's been third, second, 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 and now first. She does have the second most confessionals. She's only one or of people left in the game. Third most overall. She's one off of Kenzie in that respect. She's maintained her high ranking where Kenzie and Q have not, because she has been the swing in that. And I think a big part of that is she's not going to be the next purple person to go home. And I think all three of them stick around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, she'll probably lose one of them near the middle. Like we were kind of saying, it's probably going to be Q. Like I said, I feel like Kenzie has a big chance of winning. I'm also buying Tiffany because she's the other person that I feel like has a lot of winner equity. I think I'd say Charlie, Hunter, Tevin. I think they all have kind of an outside chance to win, but I would put like 80% of the winner equity on Kenzie and Tiff right now.
Yeah.
I feel very confident that it's going to be one of them.
I would agree.
And I think the other one also goes very deep and is like potentially the fire loser.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really strongly about both of those two.
Yeah.
Partially because I don't feel strongly about really anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Nice.
Are you ready for my theory real quick?
I am ready for your theory. Lay it on me.
Okay. I sprinkled it in at different points. But basically, I think this new alliance of six is that was kind of proposed at the journey. I think this is going to be like this moment that happened at the journey is the inciting incident for like everything that is going to, it's the first domino to fall for the rest of the game. I think, I feel like I'm going to say, I think Soda goes home next week. And I think I could maybe see one of like Venus, Liz, Mariah, one of those people going after that. Although I guess it's going to be the double tribal at 12 probably. So maybe that doesn't happen. But I think, like I mentioned, I think Mariah is going to make a big move with Charlie, and kind of backstab Tim at some point. And I think it's going to be early. Early middle of the merge, maybe final 10, final 9. And they're either going to get out Q or Hunter. And I think I probably lean towards Q. And I think that's going to kind of break up the power structure. I think Hunter's going to be a big target for the rest of the game. And he's probably going to go home in like seventh-ish place, I'd say. And I think Maria will be right there with him. I think she'll make a big move that it seems like she maybe set herself up, but I think it's going to be too big of a target. I think she'll go home shortly after that. And I think while all this is happening, I think Kenzie, kind of always outside looking in, will be slowly gaining momentum, her and Tiffany kind of reuniting once Q is gone, and the two of them kind of gaining momentum together. And I see it as Charlie being around at the end, being the second place finisher. I think Kenzie coming all the way back and being the winner is my view. I honestly kind of feel like Tevin might be the zero vote finalist. I think he, you know, losing Hunter, we'll see if he can rebound from that. I think it might be a thing where he's good enough to get himself to the end, but he will have lost a lot of agency and maybe is not getting votes at that point. I see Tiffany being the fire Romeo loser.
Per se.
Yes. I see Tiffany being the fire loser. And then, you know, in those fifth place through like eighth and stuff, it's going to be littered with like Hunter, Maria, Tim, whoever survives out of like Mo, Venus, Ben will probably be like eighth or ninth, like something like that. So yeah, I feel like I have a strong vision of what's going to happen. I feel better about this than I have about really any group at the merge. I mean, this will probably get totally fucking destroyed, but I'm gonna type all right next to all their names in this spreadsheet where I think they're gonna pitch. I'm gonna put Kenzie 1, Charlie 2, Tiffany I said 4, Tevin I said 3. Those are the ones I feel very
confident about. I like it. I like it.
Kenzie Tiff maybe is interchangeable, and then yeah. So I'm gonna track this. Soda I said 13.
I don't know if this is going to be an interesting little nugget here, but I just saw it, so and I thought it was kind of interesting. The only person left in the game right now who has any votes, who has ever had any votes cast against them, is Ben. Did you know that?
I did not know. That's very interesting, actually.
He has two votes cast against him. No one else has ever had a vote cast against him this season.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Everyone else had votes. Jelinski was unanimous. Jess was 4-1. Who voted? Who didn't vote up for Jess? Banu was the Jess voted for Banu. Because Jelinski didn't have a vote in the 5-0. Randon went got medevaced. Banu went home 3-0. Because he didn't have a vote either. And Jem just went home 4-2, with the other two votes being Ben.
Wow. I also had a fun fact for confessionals. Also, all confessionals, I figured I should give this person credit. Just Tragic on Twitter. That's where I've been pulling all these from, at Just Tragic. So, doing the Lord's work there.
Yes.
Tiffany got 3 confessionals this week. But besides that, Kenzie, Tiffany, and Q have all had at least 4 confessionals in every single episode. So there's 5 episodes. I know they've gone to a lot of tribals, but 4 confessionals. Charlie's done that 3 times. Jem's done it twice. Ben, twice. Hunter's done it once. Tevin's done it twice. Venus has done it once. Mariah's done it once. Soda's done it twice, actually. Maria, once. Tim's done it twice now. And Liz has done it once. So pretty much everyone else has done it twice. A couple people have done it 3 times, but they've all done it 5 times. So I think they are, that's the narrative. It's complex tribe theory. It's those 3. That's what I think is gonna happen. Okay, last couple things. I know we've run pretty long this week. Fantasy Survivor, I'm up 922 to 693.
Big.
You're getting beat down by the rankings. I did lose Jim, but it's, yeah, lots of people high in the rankings.
Yeah.
My team.
Yeah.
But I do have to give
chung, chung.
A Dunn chain. I lost Jim. Jim, my third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was talking myself into it because of last episode. But yeah, I have to give a Dunn chain here. There's a lot of people that feel kind of viable for Dunn chain here.
I would agree.
You've got Soda Dunn chained, and that's the only active one at this.
That is point. Not true.
You have Tim there right next to each other. Tim, the only one who's Dunn chained at this point. I think Tim will stick around a little bit. I think I'll have other opportunities to Dunn chain Tim.
I agree. He just was looking. If Jem didn't go off the rails, it still would have been Ben, but Tim would have been in a worse position, I think.
I think I'm going to play it a little safe. I know I kind of went on a limb and I was like, I think Soda's going home next. You know what? Fuck, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be true to my convictions. I'm going to Dunchain Soda.
Nice.
I was considering just playing it safe, going with Liz. I think Venus could also be kind of fall into that. But yeah, I'm just Soda. I feel pretty, I don't know where she fits in with the rest. There's other people that I could see a path for them moving forward. Soda, I don't see much of one, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's kind of where I land right now. But yeah.
Nice.
Also, I'm rounding out these ranking or these predictions that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to deliver them real quick.
Nice.
In 1 second. 1 second. I'm finalizing.
Let's see.
Finalizing.
Did you know Tevin was only 24?
He does seem a little older than that. Okay, ready for this?
Pick him for late 20s. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm ready. I was vamping.
Okay. I have 13th, I've got Soda.
Mm-hmm.
I've got in the double tribal, I'm assuming is final 12. I've got Mariah and Venus, both kind of easy boots there.
Mm-hmm.
10th, I've got Q. This is the big Maria move.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Q goes home 10th place. Then I have... Oh, where's 9? I've got Tim 9th, following her out the door, realizing that Tim doesn't have that many allies. Following Q out the door after the shakeup. Then Maria being a big target, I have her going 8th place. Ben as a charisma guy, 7th place. Hunter finally 6th place. I think Ben going home could also be maybe a Hunter idol play. And then I've got Liz, random 5th place boot. Maybe other people have an idols and stuff like that. Who knows? And then I've got, like I said, Tiffany Fire, loser. Tevin 3rd, Charlie 2nd, Kenzie 1st. I actually kind of feel like maybe Tevin would be the 5th place and Liz would be the losing finalist in that. Now that I've actually fleshed it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Liz also does not have enough of an edit to even come in 3rd, I feel like.
We're going to hold you to these. These need to be exactly right.
For now. I kind of want to keep track of these because I do feel that strongly about it.
Do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll check out every week.
I've got them written down still. So, yeah, and maybe I'll use these for my Dunn chains, which I've already done once. So, yeah, Soda. I don't know if people like this or not because I feel like I've been more negative about towards Soda than I really should be at all. I just feel like I'm reading the tea leaves.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do here.
The tea leaves have been trying to tell me Soda for a while. But yeah. Okay. Well, we truly covered it all this week. Dave, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, we'll say thank you, everybody, so much for listening. And we'll see you all next time.